Good morning, good morning, good morning. Somebody say good morning. Hey, as you are making your way back to your seats, we want to bring your attention to the screens for a little video introduction into our talk here this morning.
As a boy, Christmas time always meant visiting my grandparents in London. Grandmother loved to bake and spoil us with presents and cakes. After she died, it wasn't the same. Grandfather had never been one to say much, and he became even more quiet once he was bedridden. Alone in his room with him one Christmas Eve, neither of us knew what to say. To break the silence, I asked about an old photo on his shelf. I knew he had fought in World War I, though he rarely spoke of it. But something unlocked in him that night, and he told me this story. It was all supposed to be over by Christmas. Of course, it didn't happen that way. We spent every day and night in the trenches, and all the time, the enemy, 50 yards away, waiting to shoot us. It felt like nothing could ever end it. That Christmas Eve was about the lowest I'd ever felt. We got packages from home. Your grandmother sent me a picture of herself, but it just made me miss her more. Late that night, though, something happened. I heard singing. I grabbed my rifle and poked my head up just enough to see the lights. Lights all along the German trench. The Germans were singing Christmas songs and lighting candles. I don't know what drew him, but one German soldier climbed out of his trench and began to walk across no man's land. It was the bravest thing I've ever seen. Soon, I heard some of our men singing along with the Germans, and a few of the fellows started to climb out as well. Before long, most of us were out there. We shook hands with them, shook hands with the very Germans we'd been trying to kill. I guess we all wanted Christmas more than war that night. We spent all of Christmas Day right out in the open with them. We made small talk, told jokes, traded little gifts with each other, and some of us held services, reading the Christmas story back and forth in English and German, and praying together on Christmas morning. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't been there myself. Grandfather stopped talking. Finally, I asked him why that didn't end the war. How could they go back to shooting at each other after that? Most of us wanted it to be over, of course. We wanted to go home, but we learned that year that Christmas isn't what brings peace. Christmas is a promise that Jesus will bring peace to all who believe, to the whole world, when the time is right. Christmas is the promise that one day we'll go home. I can't wait to shake hands with some of those German lads again.
That video is one, it's an autobiographical work, a biographical work of a family of a British soldier. And, you know, I don't know about you, but every time I watch that video, I mean, I've seen it a few times now, but I watch that video and I find myself, you know, asking the question, how can that really have happened? You know what I'm saying? Just like, that just to me is just so foreign for me to even imagine an experience like that taking place, you know, where opposing forces come together and simply forget about the opposition that separates them. To me, that just doesn't process inside of my reason. Because it's just kind of, it's wild to know that, I mean, I've heard of the story of the Christmas truth, but to actually kind of get into it and hear all the details of it, it just kind of blows me away. You know, I talk for a living, and I find myself in a difficult spot trying to describe just how powerful the love of our Savior is and what our Savior can actually do through our lives. Because how many know, like, his power propels us to do things that really don't make sense? I mean, it's it's an inexplicable power that exists behind our Savior, wherein we find ourselves with the strength and the abilities to do things that reason would tell us can't be done. Kind of like what we just saw in that video, or, you know, in people's lives that sit around you. You know, I've met people that are sitting around you who for many years had the most difficult time finding the strength to forgive someone who hurt them deeply, but found it in Jesus. I've met people who have given me their stories of constant struggle with the power of addiction in their lives and couldn't find a way out no matter what they tried to do, until they met Jesus. I've talked with the victims of abuse who, through abuse, lost their ability to see themselves as valuable. I've talked to women who have lost, through abuse, the ability to see themselves as beautiful or of worth. But somehow, some way, even to the surprise of psychologists, they found themselves rising again out of the ashes of their tear-stained past and found their beauty again, found their value again, found their self-worth again, and they told me they found it when they met Jesus. Oh, the things we can do with Jesus. Oh, the things we can do with God. I love Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It's a scripture that says, nothing is impossible with God. You know, that's a Christmas scripture. That's Luke 1, 37. Right when Mary is given the news of what she is going to be having to deal with for her life now. And she's troubled. This is a lot to deal with. And this is heaven's statement into her life with God. Nothing is impossible. You see, that's why this scene exists before you today. We've been doing a series for the last several weeks on this season right here, called Tis the Season. I love the last three letters of season, because I mean, it's all about the Son, the S-O-N, coming into the world and making known all of what He can be, wants to be, has been, and will always be to us, His people, and what we have when we team with Him. We love these old nativity scenes, but I want to tell you, these plastic figures and this scrap wood that we've constructed here on this stage serves to symbolize something very real that landed on the pages of history 2,000 years ago. The moment when God came to be with his people. And this scene behind me today serves to symbolize something very real that wants to land on the pages of your life today. See, that's the point of Christmas. That's the point and the purpose behind the entire Advent that we're here to celebrate. God coming to be with his people. In Matthew 1, one of my favorite verses rests right at verse 23, right in the Christmas story, where an angel is quoting an old promise that Isaiah the prophet made concerning the purpose of the coming of Jesus. And it says this: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son," and I love this right here, "and shall call his name Emmanuel." You know, the name Emmanuel means something. You know, today it's a little different when we pick out names for people, because most of us kind of, you know, we'll thumb through a baby book, or we'll reach back into, you know, somebody in our lineage, or, you know, we like the sound of it. We like, you know, we like the feel of it, but we don't really know the meanings of our name. I mean, there was a book that came out just about 10 years ago that said name meanings, and people just started to eat it alive. I mean, because they just didn't know what their name meant. Back then, I mean, we kind of walked away from it, but back then it was like names actually had a meaning behind it, and that alone was the purpose behind the name, because it was to describe that purpose behind the person and their life. When the parents would pray, and this, the angel comes to them and says, before you think about anything here, we got to understand here, his name, here's the purpose of this child, Emmanuel, which means, three words, God with us. You see, heaven that night wanted to make something very clear to humanity. He's here. The reason he's here, the reason he lays in this stable with wood, hay, and stubble. He's here to be with you. Oh, I wish we would believe heaven's message today, every day in our lives, that we are not alone. We're with him. He's with you. Can we do this? Can we close our eyes right here just in this room? I know some of you, you're new. You're like, what the heck are you getting ready to do? Just close your eyes. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to, you know, whatever you would think somebody's going to do. Nobody's going to do that. Just close your eyes, if you would, in this room. I want to ask the lights if they would just to come down. You see, that night is literally one for the books. That night in that manger. You know, we've been digging into the Christmas story for the last few weeks, as I mentioned, just teaching on all the things that have happened around this scene, this manger scene. And with your eyes closed, I know you may hear footsteps around you. Don't worry. Just keep your eyes closed and imagine with me, if you would, what it looked like that night. You see, God brought magi rulers on a 900-mile journey and humble shepherds located just a few miles away together alongside Mary and Joseph to make a statement. The skies opened up that night, Scripture says, and an angelic host formed and pronounced good news. Luke chapter 2 says, good news for all people. And in verse 11 it says, here's the good news: for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And that Savior, Jesus, carries with his name Emmanuel. The night God showed up to be with his people. Do you know right now where you are at that he is with you You see, he didn't come for one generation. He came for the generations to follow, and the ones after that, and the ones after that, leading us to this room here today. And I want to tell you something here today. He is with you. You know, I know this season has kind of been altered in the context of its distractions, you know, with all the responsibilities and schedules and demands and the hustle and the bustle that comes with Christmas season. I know many of you may come in here and it's just a stressful time for you. There are schedules to keep. There is no time for free time. There is just time to try and squeeze everything in to what I have to do. You know, some of you, you know, with Christmas season, you just think, man, it's just the demand to buy gifts and more gifts and more gifts. And I got to get a gift for Uncle So-and-so and a gift for this person and that person. And it's just, I don't know how I'm going to be able to afford my own bills. And you're just falling behind. And it's just stress right now. Stress City could be where you live right now in your life. Or maybe you are just off the wings of a bad report from a doctor and you just don't know how you're going to deal with it. Or maybe, you know, you're just a few days out from seeing some family members that you have not been looking forward to seeing, and it just brings anxiety in your heart because, you know, maybe there was some beef that you had between a family member, and you're not looking forward to what is coming in just a couple of days. Can I challenge you in this room today to forget the hustle and the bustle? Can I challenge you to take your eyes off of the distractions that try and take our focus away from why we are even in this season today? What it really is all about, and it's about this: God coming to be with His people. What was it like that night when that message came across? I love this scene. I love what this scene serves to represent. You know, can I repeat something that I said earlier? The scene behind me serves to symbolize something very real that happened and was written on the pages of history 2,000 years ago. And this scene behind me serves to symbolize something very real that wants to happen and be written on the pages of your life today. You see, you may be here in this room today and you're simply honoring a wonderful Christmas tradition in your family, just to walk into church and just worship Him and the reason for the season. We want to welcome you here today. And maybe you're here today and you're here all the time here at Journey Church, and you're just here to celebrate with everybody else. But, you know, no matter what you're here because you were invited to be here, to be a recipient of just our honor to be able to bless you in this tough time in your life. Whatever the reason is, can we just think about for a second what it is that we may be going through? You see, maybe you're here today and outside these walls sits a life that just weighs guilt on you because of maybe the decisions that you've made that have brought great regret in your life, and you've just not been able to get over it, and you feel guilty. Can I tell you the reason for this scene right here is something called forgiveness. We have a Savior that forgives. Watch this. All sin. And at Journey Church, that's a really good thing. Amen. I'm telling you, all sin. No matter what it is, friends, He is here to impart that forgiveness. You may have walked in here guilty, but you have the opportunity to walk out forgiven. Maybe you're here today and you're hurting. Maybe you received that report from a doctor and it's just weighing in on you and bringing anxiety and stress and doubt, frustration, confusing, and whys, as you may want to just scream to heaven, why is this happening? Can I tell you something? He's God with you, not God away from you. He's God with you. He wants to do things with you. Maybe it's an emotional hurt that you're experiencing in your life. Can I tell you, you may have walked in here with hurt, but with God, you can walk out of here with healing. And that's not just a statement I'm just making because, you know, might make you feel good. It's a statement that I have seen come to life in several lives around you. Maybe you're here today and you're just full of stress and anxiety, and you're having difficulty even thinking, like we were talking about earlier, just seeing someone that you're going to see at your family's this year because of hurt or beef that may exist. Can I tell you, you can walk in here with that beef, but you can walk out with a love and a power in your life, a joy inside of your life that you can't even put words to. God can do the most amazing things in your life. Maybe you're here today and, you know, outside these walls is a life that you feel empty inside. It's like nothing has made you feel fulfilled. The job that you have, the relationships that you have, they may be great. They may do the job of providing and, you know, but it's not filling that. You feel like there's something missing inside of your life. You tried to go to things and habits to try and fill it. Nothing seems to be working. Can I tell you today, what you're looking for is right here in this room. You see, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the full, he says. Life that fills you up and fills any amount of emptiness that you may have. You may have walked in here empty, but you can walk out today full. I mean, no, that's good news. Amen. You see, that's the whole purpose of the main. The shepherds, when they were just tending their flock, we've talked about it a couple weeks ago, these third shift shepherds working at night, right? Just came into work, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to expect. They were just going to be tending dirty sheep. And heaven opened up. Angels formed around these shepherds and says, behold, I give you good news that will bring, watch this, great joy to all people. Over in Bethlehem, the Savior has been born. Go check him out. And they ran to go see what it was. Wise men, it says, when they saw the star, it says they were overjoyed. Just look at their face. There we go. Overjoyed. Amen. That word overjoyed in the Greek, you know what that means? It means that you're so full of joy, you're joyful about having joy. These guys were just so ridiculously happy when they realized they were almost there that they were happy about being happy. In the Greek, it's like one of those guys, you'd be like, hey, just calm down, all right? You're a little too joyful. That's what they had because they saw they were almost there when they were on their way to him. Can I tell you, you're here and you have the ability to experience the good news and the joy that waits for you that heaven's been trying to get across to humanity for so, so long. You weren't meant to do this alone. You may have walked in here feeling like you're doing life alone, but you can walk out of here feeling like you're doing life now with him. It's the reason behind this. So if you're in this room today, and whether you're here all the time, you're here for the first time, I want you, if you would, just to close your eyes. If this is you, and you want to get some things right with him, you want to invite him in to do what he does, heal, forgive, life to the full, meet your needs, steer your life, open your dreams. If that's you and you're here and you're just tired of doing it alone, you see what stress and anxiety often does, psychological paths that we walk on from stress and anxiety often lead to thoughts of loneliness. Stress often births loneliness. The reason we're stressful is because we feel like I can't handle this on my own. I can't take any more. And Jesus says, you were never meant to do this alone. Let me do it with you. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just let me in. So if you're in this room today, you want to invite the Lord into your life, I want you to do what we saw several people do in our 9 o'clock service. I want you, if you would, just to lean forward, close your eyes, and just have a convo with God. It's all you need to do. Just right there, right now. Just forget about who's around you. If that's who you just want to experience the power of his forgiveness. You want to experience what guilt is like being removed off of your shoulders. You want to experience healing emotionally, healing physically. You want to experience the fulfillment of our lives. Just lean forward, close your eyes, and put your heart on him. And just start to talk. You see, it's not my job to, there we go. There are people all around this room right now just leaning forward, closing your eyes, just having that conversation. You see, you don't have to scream to God. You don't have to worry about having this loud talk with him. The Bible says he can hear your thoughts. Friends, just invite him in. Just pray to him. See, the word pray is just a fancy word that means talk. We get the word from the Latin pray. But it just means talk. Just tell him what you want right now. Lord, I want you. I want you to come into my life. I open my heart up. Just come and occupy my life. I've been trying to search out so many different ways and nothing's working. And Lord, I want to give my life to you, Lord. Come in, forgive me of my sins. Come in, heal me of my hurt, God. I need forgiveness. I need healing, God. I need hope. I need help. And I want you to come in. And scripture says, man, he's waiting to get that open door into your life. And he'll come in. And right now, I know some of you as I'm watching, I can barely see through the lights, but I can see emotions on faces right now that are praying, just allowing him to come in. Just, Lord, come into my life. I want to do life with you as you came and intended for me to do. I want Luke 1:37 to define my life. Nothing is impossible with God. Father, right now, as people are praying all around this room, it's an honor to be a messenger, God. But Lord, this is no message that I've created, God. This is a message that simply serves as an echo of what you said in your word. When you said, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And Lord, I thank you that that life is being poured into every heart that is open to you right now. It's powerful, God. I thank you, Lord, for the change and the transformation that's taking place in people all around this room. We love you, Lord. We love what we have in you, and we love what we will continue to have in you as we walk out of this room with our steps ordered. God, our steps in the direction of you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Can we stand to our feet here this beautiful morning? And, well, actually, I think we just walked into 12 o'clock this beautiful afternoon. And put our hands together for who Jesus is here in this room. Amen. Amen. How many are thankful for Amen?